The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
whoa! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
Welcome to another edition of the Computer Corner here, going on 11 years at the fine broadcast facility at KTAR. We're here to help you with technology, with computers, with electronics, gadgets, gizmos. We can do PCs, we can do Macs. We can help out with just about anything you're feeling when it comes to technology, any pain that you've got. Any advice you're looking for, whatever it is, we can help you here. 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Or, of course, you can find us online at datadoctors.com/radio. It's datadoctors.com. You click where it says the radio show for those that don't do the whole slash thing, if that's confusing you. By the way, don't worry about the slash in which direction it goes, the slash or the backslash, so to speak. On the web, they both work. The web's smart enough to get you there. At least for Windows and Mac operating systems, right?
I guess it depends on the web browser.
On the web browser? You don't, in Safari, that's your web browser, right? The voice of Louis George's Mac Media.
It's not my web browser.
Not your web browser? It's the web browser you, like, you don't even use that web browser.
I actually
probably,
use
right?
Firefox.
Right, like the rest of us.
The rest of the techno geeks.
The techno geeks? We're not techno geeks.
No.
Geeks is a four-letter word, my friend.
Actually, I think that's five-letter word.
Who asked you?
I'm sorry.
In studio today, the Data Doctors and the Mac Media guy. It's Kevin Church to my right, my far right. Louis Georges from Mac Media right in front of me. And Robert, why don't you give us the last name so I don't butcher it?
Terezo.
Terezo? Which is Italian? Because it ends in an O?
That's correct.
I thought it was Arabic.
Yeah, that could be that,
I'm not
too.
Real cultured either.
So we got lots of Data Doctors, lots of, not lots of Mac Media guys, but we got lots of technical horsepower, so to speak, in the room. And I just called all of you a horse, which was interesting. Again, the number 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Throw that out early because the lines do generally book up quickly and then you just get a busy signal. So if you want to dial in and talk to us, if you want to ask your question, you want to get help, you're looking for suggestions, you got something for the holidays and trying to figure out how to make it work or trying to figure out if you can take it back, you got a gift card perhaps to one of the major electronics retailers, Circuit City. If you haven't heard, you want to spend that thing as quickly and as close to yesterday as possible. They had announced back in late 2008 that they were closing 155 of their stores, which included all of the Phoenix area stores, in an attempt to try to right their ship that had wronged. And they just announced this week that it doesn't look like they're going to be able to fix things, and that the remaining 567 stores will close sometime in the next 90 days. So if you received a gift card, if you have been inclined to make a purchase there, you better get while the getting's good, and beware of some of those closeout liquidation deals. When they get to this stage in the game, these kind of retailers generally don't control their own destiny. They bring in a third-party company that that sells off the inventory, and so in almost all cases, they quickly stop accepting gift cards. They quickly stop accepting returns, exchanges. For any reason, you're sort of on your own. And a lot of the closeout deals become things that you get to try to battle with. So there's some deals out there, but you got to be careful what you do. And take someone with you that knows more about the technology than you do. Certainly don't rely on people in the store to know a whole lot about the technology. They're generally not the employees of what was the former shell of the store. They're just people there to help get everything out of the store as quickly as possible. So, fair enough to say?
Well, and two, you know, I was reading an article about this yesterday. There was commentary about if you'd purchased a warranty through Circuit City that you might be imposed on the deal, but most of those warranties are backed by a bigger company.
A third-party company,
and,
sure.
You know, before they close, make sure you get the warranty in writing of what you bought. That way you know which company it is and who to go to just in case.
And some of them have the ability, look at the paperwork. Some of them you have the ability, if you have not used them, you have the ability to back out and get a prorated refund. You have all kinds of options to you, but the sooner you take a look at those things, if you're in that position, the better. Circuit City, just another in the list of electronics retailers. CompUSA, the most recent other large retailer that is no longer. Computer City, Egghead, Tweeter, The Wiz, Incredible Universe. These are all electronics companies that at one time were giants in the industry that are no longer with us. So it's just a sign of the times, so to speak.
Have you ever seen a computer company actually change the direction of the of that downward slide just from closing up half their stores? I mean, it's inevitable that eventually you're going to fail if you just keep retreating.
Well, and if you can drastically make a change in how the company's run, I think that there's a chance. But the problem is Circuit City for years and years. I mean, it's no secret. It's well publicized that they were mismanaged. They eliminated. Get this. They eliminated the majority of their sales staff years ago in an effort to save money.
Well, not even that. They eliminated the ones that have been there the longest amount of time. So the most experienced.
Yeah, the ones that were actually knowledgeable.
But you're running a retail operation with 700-plus stores, right? And you're going to eliminate the sales staff. Now, last time I checked, and I may be no retail expert, but have some experience in this world, right? Doesn't everything start with the sale and everything else comes after that? So you eliminate your sales staff. Doesn't that sort of put you in a bad position for the long term?
They a few months later, they did offer to hire them all back.
After the people had already gone and found jobs elsewhere.
Which I'm sure you were laughing about.
Right. Didn't you work at that empire at one
many,
point?
Many moons ago.
Yeah. See? So, anyway, Circuit City, the big point is if you received a gift card in the recent past, you best figure out a way to spend it and spend it quickly, because it's very likely that gift card will not be redeemable for the entire length of their liquidation, which is beginning now and through the next probably 90 days or so. And I think they'll be pretty much done by April, would be my guess.
I haven't dealt with the gift card side of things when it comes to dealing with one of those companies that are crumbling. But I had purchased one of those extended warranties with a large plasma display.
Right.
And the company actually isn't defunct. They're still in business. But because that location had closed down, it was a nightmare trying to get the paperwork for the warranty that I'd purchased. So it took me almost a year to get my plasma display fixed.
Yeah. Crazy stuff. So beware if you're out there looking at those amazing deals. Just be careful. Of course, that's not what we're here to talk about today, but thought we'd throw that out at the top of the show because I know a lot of people have been interested and it's just something that's in the news there that is part of the world we live in. Today we're actually talking about, we come with a theme each week, we're talking about the pros and cons of file sharing, and it's been a long time since we've spent much time on file sharing. The recording industry has decided to all but back off completely from going after people, and some are worried that that's going to open up a whole new world. And the most famous, if you don't understand what we're talking about with file sharing, the most famous or the thing that started it all was the old Napster. And that's just one of the things that we'll talk about today. Of course, your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. You can call in with your file sharing questions or not. We'll take them either way. Again, 602-277-KTAR. We are the Data Doctors. You're listening to the Computer Corner right here on FM News Talk 92.3 KTAR. Does Dell owe you money? If you purchased a Dell PC and had confusions or problems with the financing side, or if you tried to get tech support that never really supported you and had to pay someone else to take care of you, you may be entitled to a piece of the class action settlement that just came down recently for Dell. It's part of this week's advice column. You can check that out, datadoctors.com. Click where it says Free Help Center, and then you'll see right at the top there the weekly advice column. The most recent is in front of your eyes, and it says, does Dell owe you money? You can click and find out if you own a Dell PC that you purchased in the last 4 years and you've had any kind of trouble with them. The details are there, and you may be entitled to some of the dollars that Dell's been forced to give up. And we have direct links for each of the states that's participating. Arizona's one of them. It's there for you how you take action and what you've got to do and if you're eligible or not, all those kinds of things, those details. Again, datadoctors.com. You click where it says Free Help Center, and you'll see this week's column. Does Dell owe you money? It's right there. Simple stuff. That's part of what was in this week's newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, you can become one. It's only a few clicks away. When you're at our website, datadoctors.com, you look where it says subscribe, put in your email address and hit the button, and you'll start getting tips and tricks and information and stuff like that, free of commercials and spam, but full of good stuff. Helps you navigate the technology highway without with fewer bumps. Right, Kevin?
Right.
You're a subscriber.
Of course.
I think everybody in the room is a subscriber. How could we be wrong?
I'm doing it right now.
I check it three
times
a week.
Are you serious? Lewis, you've been a part of the show now for how long? And oh, my gosh.
Well, you know, it'll be nice because I'll actually know what we're talking about.
That would be awesome.
You can stop being a hypocrite, and that's awesome.
Yeah, you got to live the life, man.
You got to live the dream, baby.
I'm in.
Should we?
I'm in 48 hours. I'm
success.
Gonna guess
you did a good job.
In the next 48 hours. There you go. If for some reason you're afraid to subscribe, you want to get a preview of what you're going to get in the Free Help Center there at our website, you'll see where it says weekly newsletter. The last 20 of them are archived there for your reading enjoyment. So check those things out. Commit every word to memory. It's that important. Should we get to the phones, see if we can help people?
Do it.
I think the first guy up is the guy who's almost always the first guy up.
King
Louie. A guy that I know is a subscriber to our newsletter, and it's Lewis the Barnacle of the Computer Corner.
Well, you bet I'm a subscriber. I don't know about the last part. I've got a question about file sharing and one of your other favorite topics, backing up.
Backing up and file sharing, how do they relate?
Yep. Well, when I'm traveling, backing up my files to something that's also in my van would protect me from stupidity, but not catastrophe. Because if there's I'm in an accident or something, my backups would go also. So I'm wondering, and here's where it relates to file sharing. Using an online backup service, what would you recommend? Are they dependable? How do they store your data? Is it encrypted? And can you get it back easily? And questions like that.
Okay.
Fill me in.
There's rather than getting down to a specific, I'll let you know some basics here. Online backup is becoming very, very popular. It's something that's become fairly low cost, and it's got two things that are sort of... well, they're perfect for guys like you and for a lot of people. Number one, because it's an online backup, it automatically is off-site. A lot of people spend time to back up, but then they don't think about, well, what happens if fire, flood, theft, those kinds of things. And while we may not be subject to a whole lot of the effects of hurricanes and things like that that are going to be more flood-causing out here, we are all subject to people breaking in and taking things. And when they take a computer, oftentimes they're going to take all the things attached to it. We are certainly... subject to fires. We're certainly other kinds of disasters and things can happen. So having it automatically off-site is kind of nice. The other thing is almost all the major players out there, if you go do a quick Google search for online backup, they're all going to have very safe and secure storage facilities. They're storing multiple copies of your file beyond the fact that you have a copy. They're all going to have encryption, and it's all pretty much the same level of encryption, which is that the files stored on their side, the encryption actually happens on your machine before the files are transmitted over the internet to their servers.
So you'd have to have some software installed on your computer to do it, huh?
Right. They all require you to install some piece of software that then goes, searches the files, grabs them, compresses them, encrypts them, and then transmits them so that the entire transmission process and the storage process, everything is secured, even so that their own people trying to work on the drives and things, they can't read the data that's on them. They're in an encrypted state, and only your PC and your username, your password can unlock that stuff. So,
and if they go out of business?
Well, that's where these days, I haven't seen one of these companies really go out of business. What generally is happening is that a lot of them are merging and coming together and a lot of consolidation. So obviously, if you pick one of the ones that's the young pups, so to speak, then going out of business may be an issue. But look for some of the bigger boys, the guys like Mosey, like Carbonite. Mosey, by the way, backed by EMC, the largest storage company probably on the planet. There's a couple others out there. But check that out. Just Google online backup. You'll find all kinds of choices out there. Hey, thanks for the call, Lewis. We appreciate it. We got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, more of your calls and questions. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner with the Data Doctors in the house. Stick around. the best rejoiner music ever, right, Lewis? I know it's your favorite song.
It's wonderful.
It's the stuff you listen to. When, if I went in your car right now and turned on the radio, you'd be listening to this.
No, you know what's on my radio? I have this old-school hip-hop station.
Old-school hip-hop station?
It's all 80s rap.
We have one of those in town, or is that like a satellite?
Yeah, we
radio?
Do. We really? Have one in town.
Which one? Is it the one that used to be on the frequency that we broadcast on that now moved? They used to be Power 92.
Yeah, it could be that.
Those guys, but now they're 98-something, I don't know.
It's pretty good.
That's what you listen to?
80s hip-hop.
All right, I'll have to check that out. No, but everybody, if you're going to check that out, you wait for our show to finish first, please. Thank you.
Definitely.
Lewis will let you know when it's time for that at the end of the show. We're talking about, we said we were going to talk about, the theme of the show is file sharing networks and specifically the pros and cons of file sharing. And at some point, we'll actually get into some of that. And we're inviting you to give us a call if you have questions, concerns, thoughts, issues, consternation, whatever it might be. 602-277-5827. I got a couple of lines open. It's 277-KTAR.
So what are the cons of file sharing?
I think probably...
The better question is, like, what's the pros? I think there's probably only, like, one or two.
So the pros are don't pay for music, right? And okay. And videos and media in general.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily, but that's the upside. The only reason somebody's going...
How about instant gratification?
Yeah, but you can instantly... I
pay for that stuff, and I get instantly gratified.
Right. So the only reason you do file-sharing networks... I mean, really, the only reason is to get free content, right? Is there any other upside?
I can't think of anything.
So the downsides, that's really the more important question, because if it's all upside and no downside, why isn't everybody doing it? Well, so Kevin might be able to speak best to some of the downside because he runs our retail operation here in the Phoenix metro area. And so part of what he sees is tons and tons of people that are coming into the store to have service done because not all of them are in for this one reason, but there's a decent number of people that are in for service because of problems associated with file sharing networks. And you say, well, how could that be?
Things such as LimeWire?
Yeah, LimeWire and BearShare and Morpheus, and I don't even know what all the different... I mean, there's a billion of them out there, right? These are all things that allow you to go out and steal music, right? And steal videos and movies and all these things.
And also opens your computer up.
Sometimes what you think you're getting is not what you're getting.
Sure.
So tell us about the kinds of things that people end up contracting.
The number one thing that we see on anybody's computer that comes in there trying to, download whatever it may be, are viruses. Number one, first and foremost, pop-ups, error messages, rogue antivirus software.
Machines just crawling, right? They're almost unusable. And people these days put up with a lot of garbage in their machines because they figure that's sort of normal.
Well, and they get desensitized over the course of 6 months as to what slow is. You know, one day it might be a little bit slower. A week later it might slow down just a little bit more. And over 6 months, they don't have any real way of comparing it to good because they don't remember what it looks like.
All they know is that every time they try to do anything, they're getting pop-ups. They're getting these weird error messages, and these messages sometimes are telling them that they need to do certain things, and then they're doing those things, which is causing more trouble. And a lot of this is introduced because someone decided, I'm going to go get myself some quote-unquote free music or free videos or whatever it is, and downloaded something and double-clicked on it, and, well, that didn't really work. That must not have been good music. And what they just double-clicked on was something that infected their machine, and they keep doing this over and over again with different things and different infections, and it doesn't take long before that machine is just jacked. And that free music, quote-unquote free, right, cost you a bunch of money when you have to then get somebody to go and tear out all the nasty stuff and sometimes reinstall things, and it just... That's the big con, right?
Well, see, and this is what I was talking to you about during the break, is fixing my friend's PC, who decided that he was going to go and download.
When you say friend, you mean your PC? I mean, are you talking about friends like we talk about? Hey, remember that friend PC, Kevin, that friend of yours who had all that porn on the PC?
Yeah, my friend.
Right. Is that what you're talking about?
There was no wink-wink associated with that.
Oh, no wink-wink. Okay. And you didn't put friend in quotes?
Nothing in quotes.
Okay, I see.
But it did take 2 to 3 days just to get that thing cleaned up.
Yeah, it's a lot of time. It's a lot of frustration. And sometimes you end up having to do things that are pretty painful, reinstall stuff. And so the cons, and we've got resources posted if you want some more information about what some of these things are and what are some of the applications that are the bad ones. Datadoctors.com/radio, the first link under this week's links. There's a comparison of file sharing applications, and it shows you the ones that are okay, the ones that are bad, and the ones that are super duper bad. And it's a pretty good place to start, and a lot of people click that list and look and go, oh, I've got two of these, and I had no idea. Some of them are actually, they're things that you think are there for you to get music, and they do serve that purpose, but they're also there serving someone else's purpose, using your machine to send out spam, and the world we all know could do with a lot less spam. They're just there. You're participating in things you don't know you're participating in. And a lot of this stuff is put together by people in organized crime circles that are trying to get identities, and yours included, trying to use your machine to help them run their business. And their real business is not helping you get free music. Their real business is helping themselves to your bank accounts and other people's. So you got to be real careful with what you do there. There are some legitimate purposes for file sharing software. Some companies will use file sharing as a distribution method to be able to take software and get it out. And so if I have some great piece of software, but I don't have the means to distribute by doing the traditional route where I set up a website and I'm getting so many downloads that I just can't afford the bandwidth, frankly, to support that, you can use file sharing networks to allow people to move the file around and everybody's sort of contributing. It's a cool model.
Use the grid.
Use the grid, exactly. You use the power. And so the idea is that if Lewis wants my file, in order to take my file, he's going to get it from three or four different people, pieces of it, and he's got to, as part of taking it, he's got to be okay with giving up a piece of it. He's got to contribute a quarter of that file to someone else, right? And you get enough people contributing, and in the world of file sharing, those are known as seeders and leechers, right? Kevin knows that term, seeders and leechers.
Totally.
Totally. So seeders are the guys who are giving up pieces of their file for the rest of the world to consume. Leechers are the guys that are just taking those pieces. And in many cases, in file sharing networks, and this also goes over to another whole world of things called BitTorrent, and that gets into a whole other discussion, but the world of sharing and files, it's a cool distribution model. It works in some ways, and there are some legitimate purposes, but by and large, the stuff that's out there is not for doing good, it's for doing not so good. So, again, we've got resources posted for you. Datadoctors.com/radio. We'll talk a little bit more about some of the dangers and some of the good sides of file sharing as the show progresses. But in the meantime, we're going to jump on the phone, see if we can help some more people. We've got up next Joe, who has... Joe, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Thank you for taking my call. This is my question. My son has a game called Xbox 360 Live, and he's going from that Xbox 360 to a router to the modem, and I have a computer going to the router as well. So if someone's online on the computer, his game slows down. It's like it freezes. He starts having problems with it. Energy level gets real low.
The valve wide open, you're going to have a lot less water pressure in other parts of the house, and so this is what's happening. The guy on the PC is using up all that bandwidth, and him on the Xbox, he's trying to play other people.
Right.
He's a little bit behind, right? He's lagging, and he's getting hit and beat up, and things are getting choppy, and that's just kind of the way things go. So,
and I'm getting mad at people. But how do I resolve that? How do I?
Well, I mean, just like in the example with the shower, is you either don't take a shower while he's playing his Xbox. In your case, don't do a whole lot of intense things online, or you can change out your router device or look to see if your router device has some advanced capabilities where you can do something called bandwidth throttling. And what that basically means is you can assign it so that the PC can take no more than X number of megabytes down or megabit download speed or maybe a percentage. So it's not able to use more than 50% of the available bandwidth, for example, right?
Okay.
So that will help distribute things a little bit better.
What's that called again?
Those are generally called bandwidth throttling in most routers. Now the regular sort of the cheapy stuff that you're going to buy off the shelf that's the least expensive is probably not going to have those kinds of features.
Right.
But some of the nicer routers, they're still home routers, but they'll have some of these advanced features in them where you can sort of throttle people down and help distribute things a little bit more evenly. And so you'd want to look for that in your router settings, or think about replacing the router with something that had that. And if you know, be careful if you go out to the store to try to buy such a thing, that somebody you're talking to knows what they're talking about, and make sure you know what their return / exchange policy is, in case what they think they sell you is not what they what you actually need.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Okay. Sure. Thanks.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
You know what I've noticed is a lot of these cable modems get outdated.
Yeah.
And people hold on to them forever, and a lot of times you're getting about half the performance that the cable connection can actually put out.
Well, that's actually a pretty good point. Years ago, I mean, I think about my own cable modem. When I got it, the high-speed internet stuff at the time was fairly new, and the speed that we are able to connect at and download today is probably 15, 20 times faster than it was when we first got some of these devices. And so the devices were made to go well beyond what we needed at the time, but maybe not keeping up with what we have today. So you might also think about, and there's a couple of things you can do with some bandwidth tests to see what kind of actual speed you're getting. And maybe when we come back from the break, we can talk about a few places you can quickly go check to see with bandwidth tests, and talk about what kinds of numbers you ought to see based on your kind of connection. And that might give you a better idea of if there's a problem with one of the devices. Maybe you need something that needs to be replaced or updated or something along those lines. So remind me when we come back from the break. We'll talk about that. Right, Robert?
Right. I got to tell you, you know, that's a good father. Most fathers would stream videos on purpose just to watch their son get frustrated in the room. Ah, I can't freaking do it. What's going on?
See, maybe he just doesn't want to hear him anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needs a thicker door. I don't know. We're going to take a quick time out here, get some caffeine, and come back with more of your calls and questions. 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Back right after this. Steve Jobs stepping down, at least temporarily, as the CEO, the head dude over at the Big Fruit.
Got to go on a little hiatus.
Yeah, I got to go on a little hiatus for some health concerns, and shows you the power of a guy that most people in the industry, whether you're a Mac guy, a PC guy, or indifference, most people regard him as a pretty big visionary, because the day that he made his announcement that he's stepping aside, at least for the short term, stocks that already weren't doing well took a huge dive over at Apple. Huge, huge dive. People who are or were investors thinking that maybe this might be a little longer term than he's talking about. Maybe things are a little bit worse than he's talking about. Maybe Apple's innovation ride is over. Who knows?
Well, when I was over at Macworld in San Francisco last week.
The last Macworld? Oh, not the last Macworld. The last one that
the
Apple
last one owned. With Apple.
Right. Weird, huh?
However, it did say on the back of the badge, come back in 2010 and for the new Macworld.
Right.
But they had, I saw a news report the day before Macworld, and they had talked about, you know, his health concerns and this and that. They, you know, they try to play it down.
Right.
And then, of course, you had Phil Schiller from Apple on stage doing the Apple keynote. And this is the first time in a long, long
pretty much
time
ever
that I can remember a keynote without Steve Jobs, and the fact that the keynote wasn't actually full,
right?
And which is kind of strange, because those are typically fill up quickly,
right? They're hard to get into in past years, so interesting. But just one of the other items in this week's newsletter. If you're not already a subscriber, you can become one. Doctors.com. Click on the Free Help Center, and then where it says Weekly Newsletter, you can see the last 20 newsletters, including this week's, that has that story and more details. And you can also subscribe while you're there. Lewis just did it.
I did.
And I'm going to apologize in advance.
Yeah, I got this cryptic message.
For the auto response thing, yeah, we're getting ready to switch providers of... it's a long story, but it's a cryptic message. I apologize for that in advance. Once you get past the first cryptic, weird, are you in or not message, then you get what you'll see when you look at the samples of the newsletters.
It's kind of like a cult.
It's a little bit of a cult. It's a cult going on 40,000 strong, so thanks for being a part of our cult, Lewis.
Hey, anytime.
Our cult. Let's just change it from Weekly Newsletter to Weekly Cult Broadcast.
That's pretty rad.
That'd be all right.
I like that. Hey, before the break, you were going to talk about the bandwidth test.
Yes. There's a couple of places out there where you can check to see what kind of download and upload speeds you're getting. And step one is you got to know sort of what your potential is, right? So if you're on dial-up, well, don't expect to get huge numbers, and you ought to at best get things back in the 48 to 50K range, K meaning kilobits, right, per second. And that would be really on a great day.
If you're on dial-up, why even test?
Yeah, it's just not going to be good. If you're on some kind of satellite connection or something that's maybe what's called a fixed wireless, that's the next sort of range of things, your upload speed's going to be pretty slow, not a lot better than dial-up. Your download speed will get to be a couple of megabits per second, maybe at best. The next level of things probably is DSL, which is using a phone line but in a completely different kind of way. And that can range pretty wildly. If you're on some of the more rural areas, your DSL speeds will be maybe a couple megabits, that kind of thing. Download, upload's going to be 150 to 200K, maybe. And if you're in a more central kind of area where there's better built-out facilities, I've seen those things go up as high as 12, 13 megabits, maybe on the download side, and a couple of megabits on the upload. So pretty decent speeds there. The final sort of the top tier for most anyway in the residential kind of broadband world would be cable, and locally probably through Cox. If you're on there, you know, they have several different tiers a lot of people don't know about of their high speed internet, but on their top tiers they claim that you may say speeds as fast as 25 megabit. Don't believe it. I see those things regularly with bandwidth tests come out about 15 to 18 on the download side. The upload side maybe a meg and a half megabit. Okay, so that gives you a decent baseline. One of the simplest tests out there in the world you can get to very quickly, you take your browser and point it to 2Wire, the number 2, and the word wire.com, no spaces, no dashes. And in the top right, you'll see something that says speed test. And you click it and follow the on-screen prompts, and it'll show you pretty quickly what kind of speed you're getting. That's a decent quick test to give you a decent idea. So if you're on, let's say, the Cox system, and you're paying for their what they call Cox Premier, and you're seeing speeds of 5, 6, 7 megabit, there's something wrong. Something is consuming bandwidth, which is one possibility, but not as likely. You've got some problem with hardware, or the hardware is outdated. You could start by trying to see if there are firmware updates available for your hardware, and if you don't know what that means, you might get somebody to help you. You may have to replace some equipment if you really want to take full advantage. So that's sort of one side of things. The other that's a little bit more expansive test that's out there that really is going to check your download, your upload, and it'll also tell you what other people who have the same kind of service are getting in your area, so it's a pretty good comparison, is over at broadbandreports.com. So you go to their site, broadbandreports.com, all one word, click where it says tools, and then speed test or line test, and you can check out the various tools there. Like I said, that one's a little bit more thorough. It requires you to think a little bit more and makes you make more choices. So if you just want something quick and simple, the first one I mentioned at 2wire.com is probably easier. But it gives you the added benefit of giving you some comparisons to others who have recently taken the test. And another word is you might try the test two or three different times at different times of the day to see if you get sort of some variance and then average the speeds you get. Because there will be certain times of the day where you'll get better speeds than others. Whenever you have a choice of what server to test with, by the way, find the one that's geographically the closest. So if you have a choice between something in Washington, D.C., something in San Francisco, and something in L.A., L.A. is your closest one, so that's generally going to be the fastest and give you the best, most accurate test of what's out there. So a couple of quick ideas there. If you have a question, whether it's file sharing related or not, whether it's bandwidth related or not, whatever it is, PC, Mac, we don't care. We take them all. 602-277-5827. Or, of course, you can join us online at datadoctors.com/radio. We got to take a timeout here, get you caught up with what's happening in the state, in the city, in the world, all around us. And when we come back, more Computer Corner. Stick around.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
no! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. We've been talking a little bit about the pros and cons, the upside, the downside, the pleasure and the pain, if you will, of file sharing networks. You remember the first big, bad file share network that caused the recording industry a bunch of grief. It was Napster. It was back in, gosh, when was that that Napster started out? 1999, I want to say.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
I remember when Metallica got all up in arms. I think that was like 2001, 2002.
Yeah, they were one of the first big bands to take notice and say, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. You know, that kind of thing. And, well, today those file-sharing networks, they live on, and there are some things that they're useful for. There's some legitimate uses for such things. And then there's lots and lots of pain and bad that's associated with these things. And we thought we'd take a little bit of time today to educate you on sort of the state of where file sharing's at and help you navigate some of the dangerous waters that are out there. We've got links posted for you, datadoctors.com/radio. You'll see them under this week's links, and hopefully that'll help you get a little bit better idea of the file sharing application that you're using. Is it on the hit list? Is it something you need to get rid of and remove, or is it something that maybe is okay? And if you have questions about that, or you've got general computer consternation, we invite you to call in at 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR. Before we went to the break, we were talking a little bit about places you could check the speed of your high-speed internet connection. And Bob, who's listening to the show in the Phoenix area, wrote in and said, hey, on today's show you were talking about speed tests, and there's one I found that I think is particularly useful. And it's pretty cool, and it's got some cool graphic elements to it. And I went and checked it out, and he's right. It is cool. If you're checking out your internet connection and want to see how fast it is, you might add to the list speedtest.net. Speed test, all one word, no spaces, no dashes, no crazy graphics, right? Speedtest.net. And you're poised over the button. Each and every week, we bring to you a piece of vernacular from the language not of us here in the United States, but from the language of geekdom. And we call it our Geek Speak of the Week. And this week, Lewis is going to give up the Geek Speak of the Week. Take it away.
I am.
All right. Oh, no, Kevin is. I'm sorry. You're doing the other thing.
I'm doing the other thing.
I'll get myself straightened out yet. Kevin, Geek Speak of the Week?
It's P2P Networks.
P2P?
Yeah.
What?
That stands for something. That's not the end of it.
Like the letter P, the number two, the letter P?
They play that on my 80s hip-hop station.
Stands for peer-to-peer.
Peer-to-peer networks, okay.
So basically, there's a server that people connect to.
Okay.
And through this server, a peer connects to another peer or a user to another user, and they share files. They either download or upload to the other person.
It's the essence of these file-sharing networks. And so rather than the traditional model where the files have to reside on some big server, and if 10,000 people are requesting said file, that one server has to try to distribute that to all 10,000. In a P2P world, that server in the middle is really nothing more than a switchboard. And it allows,
you know, what kind of malicious content can be written into those type of files?
The issue really is not those files. It's that many, many users, all they know is that they're searching for, Lewis, for example, he's searching for the latest Britney Spears album.
Of course.
Okay.
And in the process of searching for that, he finds what he thinks is the whole album he's going to download, double-clicks on it, and thinking he was double-clicking on or trying to download the music, what he's actually getting is something malicious. And it's not that he's getting an MP3. He's getting something that he thinks is an MP3, but it's not. And so it's using somewhat social engineering. It's using the power of greed. It's using the power of I want and instantaneous gratification and all these things, and taking advantage of the fact that people a lot of times aren't paying attention or aren't well-educated on what it is to beware of and to watch out for. And so they're thinking, hey, this is a great world of all people like me who are just sharing all their music and all their stuff. And so if each of us goes out and buys one album and we all share with each other, we all, as a powerful group, have hundreds of thousands, if not a million albums, right? But the reality is that it doesn't work that way. There's plenty of people like you and me who are doing that, but then there's also another faction of individuals that are out there planting bad seeds, taking advantage of you and I just sort of clicking along and not thinking much about what we're doing, and that's where the danger is.
So it's not the actual MP3 format that could be, have something hidden within the file format itself. It's just misrepresented in the file name, therefore you don't
Correct.
Have something malicious.
Correct.
So in theory, nothing in the world is really free, even if it is. It's going to cost you something in the long run.
Absolutely. We think we learned that lesson early in life, that there's no such thing as a free lunch, and in a number of ways, that's what's happening here. And so I might also take that entire album of MP3s that I have and do something called zipping them up. We're all familiar these days with zipping up a bunch of files into one, right? And so if I'm the virus writer, I can also zip up the contents of my thing, and the files have exactly the same file extension, look exactly the same, and until they're quote-unquote unzipped, you have no idea what's inside. And to further exploit that, if I'm a little uneducated, I don't understand about what these song files are, most people don't know that MP3, they've heard about an MP3, but they think that's the iPod that they have in their hands, right? They don't understand that that's a file format. They don't understand that there are certain dangers. And a lot of people also think, well, I have good antivirus software. I keep it up to date, so it doesn't matter, right? And that's akin to, I have anti-lock brakes and I have airbags in my car, so I should be able to just put a brick on the gas pedal, jump in the back seat, take a nap, and everything should be cool, right? And so that's the analogy with antivirus. People think because they have protection, they've paid for it, they can drive with their eyes closed and the dangers of the world aren't going to come down on them. And that's just not the case. Does that make more sense now, John?
Yeah. And just one more question on a different topic that you hit. You were mentioning about outdated cable modems.
Yeah.
Do you guys have on your site recommendations for, you know, more current, stay away from surfboards, the older styles, and go with the Science America type, or, you know, something? Do you have recommendations for those?
I don't know that there's a generic recommendation for something like that, John. If your thing's just not performing, it's time to probably replace it or look at if there's ways to do what's called a firmware upgrade. But anything out there, if it meets the standard, it should be just fine.
Okay. Appreciate you taking the time.
You bet. Thanks for the call, John. Have a great weekend. With that, we're going to take a quick time out. We got a line for you at 602-277-5827. We're the Data Doctors. Stick around, more. If you're looking for the interview that Ken did with Nicole Lapin from CNN.com,
Ooh. That's
now available for your perusal. It was done last week at the Consumer Electronics Show, where we broadcasted this very show live. You can see such a thing at CNN.com/video. Just search for Data Space Doctors. You'll find it. It's quick and easy. Awesome. By the way, past shows, we have them archived. It was a lot of the same stuff rehashed. We talked a little bit about this last week on the air. There was a lot of devices that were the same devices we've had for years. They just added Wi-Fi to them. Do I really need Wi-Fi in my paper shredder? I mean, really? Do I?
Well, if you want it to talk to everything.
But what does it need to talk for? I mean, seriously, there were devices that were ridiculous combinations of things for the sake of having them. Ken, I think, said it best when he said there were a lot of problems looking for solutions rather than the other way around. And so they're just weird stuff. There were a couple of kind of cool things. Nothing really innovative. Nothing really, wow, knock your socks off. A little bit of a disappointment.
I thought there was like a Mac with a wheel instead of a keyboard.
The Mac wheel. See, I had the same type of, you know, disappointments at Macworld myself, because I'm walking around looking for new interesting items. You know, I think the Mac wheel spoof was the coolest thing.
The highlight
I saw.
Of the whole thing, huh?
But I mean, we've been conditioned, right, for years and years. There's been, especially in the Macworld, there's been each year hit after hit after hit. And this year,
They gave me a new iLife package and iWork. And
I mean, I guess the big news is that all the devices that we like are just a little lower priced, and that sort of matches the economy, maybe. I mean, that's about the best that CES could do for us.
So how many new cases did you see at CES? Cases for, you know, different accessories.
Yeah, I mean, there was the section in CES that I call the swap meet, and it was just all these little weird vendors set up. I've never heard of them. They have all these flashy things or protective cases for stuff or jewelry for your phone. And I mean, it's all the same stuff you see in those little kiosks in the mall, right?
I expected you to come back bedazzled.
Bedazzled? Yeah, somebody else said that too. Hey, have you gotten bedazzled yet? I don't know what bedazzled is, and I know I should. B, it's just all this gimmicky garbage there. I mean, just, I don't know. It's weird stuff. Weird stuff. Back to the phones?
Let's do it.
Phones. Where did I leave off? I think it was Jason who's up next here on the Computer Corner. Jason, welcome.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Thanks for the call. How can we help?
Sure. I just wanted to offer some advice on protecting yourself against the viruses and the malware you can get when using these file sharing and peer-to-peer sites that you may not have thought of yet.
Okay.
It's a free solution. Now, the only way, as you mentioned just with the previous caller, that, you know, even you may think your antivirus is up to date, but things can still slip through. So the ultimate answer is to not have these kind of programs on your machine in the first place.
Yeah.
You still want to use them anyway, so there's a solution to that.
Which is?
You can go to Microsoft, download.microsoft.com and get a program called Virtual PC.
Yes.
And Virtual PC is going to let you create a separate computer inside a window on your computer. It's completely sandboxed and has no interaction with your real computer at all. So you can install Windows or Vista in that virtual computer, and that'll be free too if you only activated your copy of XP or Vista, say, once, because they allow you a couple of activations.
Yes, that's a great point, and thanks for the suggestion there, Jason. I'll warn you that this is for the intermediate level and above, so PC beginners, novices, newbies, those kinds of things. Probably going to be a little bit more than you're going to want to bite off and chew, but Virtual PC, not a bad idea. Thanks for the call, Jason. We appreciate it. We got a line open for you. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. Again, if you missed any part of the show, you want to get yourself caught up, or you want to go back in time like the 88 mile per hour DeLorean, you can do that at datadoctors.com/radio. You click where it says previous shows, you'll see all those shows going back, I think, for 6-7 years or so, including audio archives, including feedback and links and all kinds of good stuff. It's there for you 24/7.
Back to the future.
I don't know if we can go forward yet. We've got the previous shows. We don't have future shows hooked up yet, mostly because we kind of think of the topic a couple days before the show.
Or while we're doing it.
Yeah, sometimes while we're doing it, we just let it sort of steer us, right?
What do we got going?
We're talking a little bit about file sharing, the dangers, the pros, the cons, the good, the bad, the ugly. And we've got those resources, again, posted for you at datadoctors.com/radio. We're going to jump back on the phones and see if we can hook people up with some mad knowledge. And up next, it's Victoria. Victoria?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to the Computer Corner.
Yes.
How can we help you, ma'am?
I have a problem. I'm not very computer literate, but I was on my computer and a pop-up window came up called Windows Antivirus 2009.
Hmm.
And I didn't want it, so I went to the X to click it shut, and it downloaded.
Okay.
So now it's on my computer, and they say it's very difficult to get it off.
Yes.
I did find some online self-help stuff, but I haven't used any of it yet. What is your advice?
Well, first part of the advice, and this is another area where Kevin sees a lot of action on this world. We see a lot of machines in the shop because of this problem, and I can tell you that if the self-help sites you're looking at are trying to sell you something to help you take care of it, that's going to get you in deeper and deeper and deeper. You're going to spend money and end up in worse shape. So
okay.
You did the right thing by clicking the X and trying to avoid the doom that befell your computer. And now the issue is how to get rid of it. And I can tell you that the process of trying to get rid of it is a difficult process for people who do this on a daily basis for a living.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know that I have great advice on something to point you to, other than if you have things that you care about backed up, if you've been good at making sure you've sort of kept all your original disks and software and things, then one choice, something you can do, is you can sort of wipe things out and start over using what's called usually a restore or a recovery disk.
Right. I have great experience with those.
Okay. So it's, as you know, it's not a fun process, but it is a process that is effective. And it just has its own pain associated with it. If you're looking to avoid that, then I hate to tell you, you're probably going to have a hard time avoiding bribing and or paying someone to take care of this professionally for you, because it's a bad one. It's not an easy thing to get out, even for people, like I said, that are trained that do this for a living every day. We have a step-by-step sort of set of procedures that we use that works a decent percentage of the time, and then sometimes we have to give it to the guys who are really seasoned and awesome in this area, and they spend a lot of time to get these things cleaned up. So I can tell you it's not an easy thing.
So the easiest thing is just to wipe my machine out and start all over again.
Almost always the easiest thing. That's why a lot of these companies that you pay to do it do that as a rule, because it's quick and easy for them, painful for you. Again, you got to remember, if you don't have things backed up, if you don't have all your disks, if you don't have all your programs, if you don't know all your settings, you're going to start down a path that's going to be difficult for you to finish. If you do have all those things, you're just going to spend time. But if you're okay with that, then certainly starting over will take care of the problem for you. You've got to make sure that once you do start over, that you get as quickly as possible good antivirus, anti-spyware protection on your PC. You get all the Windows updates, and I do mean all of them. And you may have to reboot a number of times. I mean, it's a process. And then be very careful about where you go and what you do. And very specifically, on topic today, I would avoid file sharing networks altogether.
I don't. What do you mean file sharing?
Any place that you're getting, you pay one price one time, and you get unlimited music and videos
No, I don't.
All
do
you
that.
Can eat that, or you're not paying at all, and you're getting those things. Those kinds of things are very, very dangerous. That's, well, like I said, one of the things we're talking about today on the show. And you'd avoid that. You'd also avoid sites other than mainstream sites, unless you really know where you're going, what you're doing. And overall, just got to be careful about what you do. And most importantly, make backups often of things you care about.
I see.
I wish I had better news for you, Victoria. I really do.
That's okay. That's what I wanted to know. I'll get my...
We're my computer control. Coroners today, right?
Right. I'll take care of it then.
All right.
Thank you so very much.
Hey, thanks for the call, Victoria, and have fun. Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, for a lot of the other people that are listening, if they've seen that on their computer and they try to fix it themselves, when you Google that and you go to, like, a first link or the second link, a lot of times some of those pages are misleading and trying to lead you down a path to download something else that does the same exact thing in order to rip you off.
People that come in with this virus, this category of viruses, a lot of times they've spent money on software they think is going to solve the problem, and they've made things worse. And not only do you have to try to go and see if you can get a refund, but more importantly, you probably got to cancel those credit cards, because the companies you've paid are not U.S.-based, and they're not going to do good things with that credit card information that they now have. What were you going to say, Lewis? Sorry.
Well, typically, they're sponsored links, too. If you've noticed when you go to the sites, that they're people that are making their fortune from your misfortune.
When you say sponsored links, I think a lot of people don't understand quite what that means. How do I know something's a quote-unquote sponsored link?
Sponsored links normally have like a yellowish hue, and they say sponsored link underneath them.
So the stuff at the very, very top, if you're in Google, the stuff right across the top underneath where you just typed in your search phrase and then down the whole right-hand side, those are people pay to have their ad put there. They're advertising to you. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because you're looking for perhaps some of the products or services that they're advertising. But you may think that, oh, because it's high on the list, top 1, 2, 3, that, well, that might mean it's more legit. No, that just means somebody paid to be there. The stuff that is what we call natural search results, those appear just below and to the left of all the sponsored links. Those are the things that are there because of popularity, because of credibility, because of, in many cases, that they're more legit kinds of sites and places to be. So that might help guide you. Again, if you are infected with one of these classes of viruses, near impossible for you to probably clean up on your own unless you're really pretty technical. Or you're ready to go down the path where you're going to sort of start over. And before you go down that path, absolutely make sure everything you care about is backed up and you have the disks. We get people who have started down the path and get partway down it and then realize, uh-oh, I don't have, hopefully not your data, right? You're going to insert there. And then they end up trying to get somebody involved, and then it's even more painful for them. So just a word of advice to seek out some help if you're infected with something like that, unless you absolutely know what you're doing.
Now, what was the new virus that had just come out, if you don't have the latest service pack update?
Oh, Kevin, you had something up on it was a sleeper virus of some sort?
Yeah, the webpage kept locking up. But it was on CNN's tech section. Another piece of software, the virus, that was sleeping there, not really doing much right now, but was capable of stealing personal information, and the most susceptible were businesses on networks.
So this is a virus that people may be infected with right now and not know it. It's sort of hanging out in the background. And the fix, you're going to like this, and this is part of, if you listen to the show regularly, if you're a subscriber to the newsletter, if you're paying attention in the world, the fix for this is make sure Windows is up to date. Make sure you have all the patches installed. Make sure you have just the basic things we're talking about. It's another one of those that if you're taking care of those basics, this is not an issue for you. So right now, if make it your New Year's resolution to keep your thing updated, patched, and protected. And that's probably the biggest, best first step you can take to keeping yourself free of some of the really nasty stuff out there. There's somebody that emailed in. We were talking earlier about speeds of different internet connections, and this might make someone in the room at least one chuckle. How fast are the speeds with the G3 networks that use those USB modems? So you've seen the commercials for the guy that says, "I've just found the internet," right? And he's got this thing plugged into the side of his laptop, and it's using your cell phone network to try to surf. This guy wants to know, is it really as super fast as they make it sound like or that they advertise in those commercials?
G3 is AT&T, correct?
G3 is more than AT&T. Okay. Verizon has a quote-unquote G3 network, and G3 just stands for third generation, right? It is certainly the fastest of what's available today. It's nothing like your high-speed connection at home or at the office. It's faster than dial-up used to be. Maybe a couple times faster, but it also depends on where you're at. So certain parts of the valley, for example, if you live way out in Queen Creek, if you're driving around out there, you don't have a G3 connection out there. You're on a very slow, sort of the earlier connection speeds, versus in downtown Phoenix, you might be much faster. So the speed that they advertise is directly related to where you're at, and certainly on the desert island that they're advertising it works on, it probably doesn't work. So be careful when you look at those commercials. Have them show you coverage maps, and specifically where these networks cover and where they don't.
And even the coverage maps don't believe it. I'm not going to say who I have, but where I'm supposed to have great service.
More bars and more places?
Yeah. I drop calls constantly, and I've kicked my iPhone at least 3 times.
One thing I've also noticed with those G3 networks is that the speeds burst.
Yes.
And it's not constant. And again, depending on the location, sometimes I can't even get those cards to work at all, where it just won't even connect to the network.
The other thing, David, who asked the question to keep in mind, is that the faster the connection goes, the more power it's going to consume. And so if you're thinking about using this in your laptop, take that as a consideration. The 3G network, it requires more transmit and receive power. Therefore, it's going to consume more. Therefore, your battery is going to last less, right? If you're an iPhone user, you know that your battery probably doesn't make it through a whole day if you're on the network doing a lot of things with the 3G speeds. And you can either slow it down to the slower, what they call edge network, and you get a lot more battery life, or you have yourself a car adapter and an adapter at work and an adapter at home, and you just plug in several times throughout the day, because the faster speed means more consumption. That's just the way it works. So keep those things in mind. Check that stuff out.
Yeah, it also kills the longevity of your battery, though,
probably,
in your phone. So
yeah, that's just part of what you pay for being connected in the connected world, right?
That's true.
We're going to take a final time out here and get one last little kick of caffeine. When we come back, we got Tom, Erica, and Stuart right here on the Computer Corner. Stick around. final segment here on the Computer Corner. If you missed any part of the show, tell them where they can go, Kevin.
Datadoctors.com.
Yeah. Click where it says radio show. You'll see all the links to this week's show, including a comparison of file sharing applications. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be pirates. That's our attempt at humor. I know we didn't succeed. That's okay. The RIAA, that's the Recording Industry Association of America. And they're dropping all their lawsuits. Now they want ISPs, the guys that you and I pay to connect to the internet. They want them to become the police and battle file sharing. They want to actually, interesting idea. The recording industry has decided rather than going after people directly, it wants to put a bounty on your head. So, Kevin, if you're participating in file sharing, a.k.a. file stealing, they're going to entice your ISP to turn you in, and they're going to pay your ISP if they turn you in and then they're able to prosecute.
That's awesome.
That's kind of interesting.
You know, I understand the purpose of not wanting to steal songs and the ethics behind it, and I completely agree. However, that group is, I think they're idiots. I mean, they're suing, there was a couple of reports, they were suing a dead woman.
Yeah.
They sued a 13-year-old girl.
Right. You can get a lot of money out of 13-year-olds, I hear.
You know, that's awesome that you guys are trying to make a point, but obviously it wasn't working.
Well, obviously that's why they're not doing it any longer, and they've decided to shift to putting a bounty on your head. So.
Well, yeah, and if the lady that was deceased had a life insurance policy, they may have paid out.
Maybe. Good luck with that.
You know, there's things like, you know, there's software out there. We've talked about it before, Microsoft Zune software that you can download on your computer, and their subscription. You can listen to the music at no extra charge other than the subscription fee. If they just made more solutions like that and made it a little bit easier and cheaper for some people just to listen to it, I think more people out there would probably be a little bit more receptive to not doing
it. Well, I think that actually happened quite a bit, and it's happening right now. I mean, the whole part of what brought Apple back from the dead that they were left for a couple years ago was something called iTunes.
Well, and they make a lot of money off music.
Yeah, and so there's plenty of people that are out there legitimately paying for this stuff. There's plenty more that are out trying to do the... I mean, the old days, let's face it. In the old days, I had a cassette, and you wanted a copy, and I had a dual-deck cassette player. Most everybody, probably, if you were around in the cassette days, had a dual-deck cassette player. Now, there's no reason to have a dual-deck player unless you wanted to make quick copies, right? They had the high-speed duplication button on it. This was so I could make a copy for you. This has been going on for years and years and years. We just found a little bit more convenient way to do it, and if that's what you're going to do... I guess who's going to stop you, but you might want to beware, and that's the point of today's show, and that's why we have the links posted for you. Again, all available for your checking out at datadoctors.com/radio. I was going to try to see if I could tank someone else, but I think if I try that, we're going to run out of time, and then I'm going to feel silly. So Tom, Erica, and Stuart, if the three of you hold tight, you're going to get some one-on-one with the Data Doctors here right after the show. We'll make sure to get you hooked up because you held out for so long. And for anybody else, if you missed us this week, be the first caller next week. We start the show every week, and we have for years and years and years, right at high noon. So if you dial in then, you'll be ready to rock and roll. Or you can connect with us right now, and it'll just sit in the inbox waiting until next week. datadoctors.com/radio. Look on the right-hand side where it says feedback and it has a place to ask a question. You can press that button, and it's pretty self-explanatory from there. And that does appear in our inbox, and we do talk about them, read them, discuss them. And you can also listen to past shows right there from the same place. So there's all kinds of resources for you during the week or any time. And we hook you up. Anything happen in the world of Macs that's important?
Well, there wasn't a lot of exciting stuff that came out in the last few weeks. So, you know, you've got some new software applications. You might see some revisions in the machines in the near future.
Woohoo! That's exciting stuff. Well, what about Walmart now? They're going to destroy the world because they're selling the iPhone 2 for $2 less or some silliness, right?
Don't they have a hook on refurbished iPods or?
I don't know. That was a rumor that was out there.
Well, if any of those Mac freaks out there have any questions, they can call it in or...
How do they find you during the week?
Check us out on the web at www.macmediainc.com.
Don't forget the ink.
Or you want to call me direct, call me in Scottsdale at 480-964-6352.
Yeah, Lewis is a decent guy. I went to the dark side recently.
I'm here to help.
Maybe we'll talk about that on a future show. Maybe PC guys and Mac guys coming together to unite for the first time in an epic battle that will win. I don't know.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for coming down and not coughing. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was an accomplishment.
Robert, what did you think? First time? Pretty good?
I like it.
You're going to come back?
I definitely will.
Can we see you back on a regular basis?
I think that's going to happen for sure.
Awesome. For the rest of you, until next week, remember, Robert wants you to remember, if you don't need it, don't install it. We'll see you next week.